A few lone fishermen, hung out on the rocks, and on the rocks you could see their fishing poles reaching out into the lapping waves. It was a beautiful sight. And it's a familiar sight along the Mediterranean coast. A sight that is repeated in many of the cities for thousands of years. There's a very similar scene that is taking place just a few miles north of the city in which I saw these events, in Caesarea Philippi, along the coast of the Mediterranean in Israel. Let's turn in our Bibles, and I want you to see another city where men spread their nets. You'll turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 26. Ezekiel chapter 26. We're going to begin in the first verse. Ezekiel was a prophet, and he was also a contemporary of Daniel. He was a little bit younger. Daniel was taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon, and Ezekiel was taken a few years later. And they lived in different parts of Babylon, but they were close in age, and both prophets of the Lord. And Ezekiel says in chapter 26, verse 1, "And it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the Lord, word of the Lord came to me." When he says it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, he's talking about his captivity. It's been 11 years now that he's been in captivity. And because we know when he was taken with King Jehoiakim, we know that this puts his 11th year of captivity in about the year 586 BC. So in that year, Ezekiel receives a vision from God on high. And God says, if you look down to verse 2, Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha! Maybe we usually say that when we're coming with a great idea, don't we? I wonder if Thomas Edison said that when he came up with the light bulb after the thousands of tries. When he finally got it to work, did he say, aha? I don't know. But this is a different kind of aha. This is not the kind of aha that you say when you come up with an idea. This is the kind of aha you say when you're lording it over somebody else. Aha! It's a little different. God says, "She, Tyre, this city, is broken. Broken who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste." Why is God venting against Tyre? Why does he care about this Mediterranean city? Tyre is just north of Israel in the modern-day city of Lebanon on the coast, the western coast of Israel in the Mediterranean. Why is he venting against this city? Well, Tyre was, in ancient times, and it's a city that existed many, many, many years ago. It's been around, it was around a long time. Was a wealthy and prosperous Phoenician city. The Phoenicians were the ones that came up with the alphabet. They were the first ones that came up with an actual alphabet. It wasn't pictographic writing. It was symbolic scratches on parchment or on rock that we've come to inherit today. They came up with an alphabet. And they were known as seafarers. They went all over the Mediterranean. And so Tyre was their most prosperous city. Well, they were prosperous, but during the time of David and Solomon, Jerusalem became a hub for international trade. In fact, people from all across the world came to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, even today, of course, is situated between Europe, Asia, and Africa. It's a cross point for many different cultures. And that day, when people had to go in their caravans, and as they traveled along, they'd have to come through Jerusalem. And so, with the blessing of the Lord, Jerusalem became a tremendous place for trading. But, you know, they didn't follow the Lord as they should have. They weren't grateful for the blessings that they received from God. You know, the irony often is that when we're down and out, we cry out to the Lord, don't we? We cry out to Him and say, Lord, help me. And in His mercy and grace, He reaches down and He picks us up and He helps us. And then when we get on our feet, we say, that's enough, Lord. You can let go of my hand. I'm just fine now. And we go on our way. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. They began to think that they were fine and they didn't need the Lord anymore. They outlived God's usefulness in their lives. And so because of that, He allowed them to be taken to Babylon. And Tyre was gloating. Now we get to be the world center of trade. I just read that China has actually passed Japan as the second largest economy in the world. I wonder if China's gloating. I don't know. But this is not an unfamiliar situation. Tyre was happy to see Jerusalem crumble because they began to see that they would get all the trade that would come through that area. They would become more prosperous. They'd have more leisure time. But God doesn't like it when other people are cruel and curse His people, does He? He doesn't like it when the outsiders belittle the family of God. He sticks up for us. Did you know that? He was allowing Jerusalem to be disciplined, but He wasn't going to let somebody else do anything to them. It's kind of like, you know, you have a brother or a sister that just doesn't do that well. I'm not saying they're the bad seed, but maybe they just make a lot of mistakes and you're just constantly harping on them. Get your act together. But as soon as somebody else chimes in, you turn around and say, hey, that's my brother you're talking about. Don't you talk about him. But you just said, I know what I said. I know what I said, but you don't say it. You don't have the right to say it. That's what God is saying to Tyre. You don't have the right to criticize Jerusalem. She's my firstborn. You're the child that won't come in and he never listens to me. How dare you criticize Jerusalem for her folly? And so he says, I will curse those that curse you. And he's referring to his people. But Tyre was the gateway for many cultures. And even though it coexisted with Jerusalem, it was still a place where people would come in from all over the place. They were seafarers, and they had ships and a large navy, and they would go out into the Mediterranean, and they established colonies all over the place. You might recognize the famous city of Carthage as one of their colonies. It was on the coast of North Africa. They established that colony, and that city itself would play a major role in history much down the road. So they were all over the place establishing themselves. And when Jerusalem fell, this was just one more opportunity for them to succeed. But they were doing so at the expense of God. This city had all kinds of religions. It was a true melting pot for Greek religions and Persian religions. And all kinds of different things were amalgamated within this heathen city. In fact, many people believe that this was one of the foremost places of Baal worship. One of the kings was actually named after Baal. I think his name was Abaal. It was named after Baal because he wanted to give credit to that deity. This was not a sacred city. This was a pagan city. And the Tyrians, as we'll call them, those from Tyre, hoped to benefit from the destruction of Jerusalem. But God said that he would benefit from Tyre's destruction. He says, you will be laid waste, but I will be filled. And this is true of all God's enemies. Whenever the people that are opposing God try to go out and hurt God, it ends up backfiring. In fact, the church has grown the fastest when it has been persecuted the most. Because when you oppose God, he just stands up even more. But God continues on. He says, therefore, in verse 3, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre. How would you like it to have God Almighty against you in your city? I guarantee you, no matter how friendly you made it for business in your city, you would not do well. Within a short time, you'd be the laughingstock of everybody. No one would vacation in your city. Because Tyre was on the coast, you could expect that there wouldn't be any cruises coddling up to the harbor. He says, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. He paints the imagery of waves just continually battering the coasts. Have you ever been in the sea when it's stormy or there's waves battering about? It's not a pleasant place to be. Well, God was going to cause many nations to come at them like waves, to break as destruction upon their shores. In the time of this vision, Tyre was actually two cities. It was the old city that was on the mainland, which is on the coast. But just about a half mile off the coast was an island, a good-sized island where there lived a lot of other people in the new city of Tyre. And from about 586 to 573, this vision began to be implemented. It began to unfold as Nebuchadnezzar, the one that had taken Ezekiel to Babylon from Jerusalem, had been instrumental in the destruction of Jerusalem, then began to take his destruction to Tyre. And those same people that laughed at Jerusalem now had a similar fate. As Nebuchadnezzar came and began to destroy the mainland city. Now he was not successful enough to get into the sea. They had these walls that were on the island city of Tyre that were almost 150 feet high. It was a well-fortified city. And while Nebuchadnezzar was not able to come in and take down the entire city, he was able to destroy much of the mainland city. And it would be left to another great conqueror to finish them off. Ezekiel 26:4 says, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. Break them down. And then he says, I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Well, any of you that have ever sat on a rock before, and I'm assuming that's most of us, you know that there's nothing on the top of a rock. It's smooth. And maybe even if it's been worn by the elements, there's nothing there. God would scrape them like the top of a rock. And these words were fulfilled to the letter. In 332 B.C., just perhaps maybe 250 years after this vision, and after the initial destruction of the mainland city of Tyre, Alexander the Great began a siege that would last 7 months against the island city of Tyre. Now, I know you've heard of Alexander the Great. He was the kind of person that when he marched to destroy a city, he would not stop until you either surrendered or he had destroyed every last bit of your city. And he was on a rampage. His father had united Macedonia and the rest of Greece, and now he was trying to unite the rest of the world. Alexander would eventually get all the way into India before he stopped, when those large things called elephants were just too much for him. But he was a ferocious general and leader, and he wouldn't stop. And so when he got to the coast, he had a problem. You see, Alexander had a lot of soldiers, and he had developed a lot of advances in warfare. But he didn't have a navy to speak of. His army was land-based. And so now he had to figure out, how do I destroy a city that is on an island? And it's got walls to boot. How do I destroy this well-fortified city? Well, while he was trying to think of that and trying to figure out a way, he began to receive taunts from those in the city. You can't take us. We don't care that you're Alexander the Great. You'll never be able to stop us. We have 150-foot high walls out in the middle of the sea. You don't even have ships. How are you going to come get us? But as you can imagine, Alexander was so furious, he said, that's it. All right, I want you to start taking the blocks from their old city and throwing them into the sea. Take them all, throwing them into the sea. And so he got his engineers together. He got his soldiers, and they stripped the entire old city from the ground, all the columns, all the pieces of marble and stone. They pulled them out, and they threw them into the sea. And after 7 months, they had built a stone bridge from the land to the city. And with the help of some other nations that realized that this guy was going to get the job done, this guy wasn't going to stop until he conquered everything, they sent a few of their ships, and he took his army across the causeway. He took it across the causeway, and he brought in the ships, and he began to batter those walls that the Tyrians thought would never come down. He battered them, and he found the weak points. And before long, the city came crumbling down. And because of their taunts, because of the way they treated him, because it took so long, and because he was just so angry that he had to do all of this, many of them were killed. And the other 30,000 that survived, he pulled them out and said, you're never going to live here ever again. And so the city of Tyre, as the world knew it, was no more. The contemporary historians in that day and age tell us that more than half of the city was completely decimated. Alexander came in and he destroyed much of the city. And the causeway that he built, that took him 7 months to build across that half mile of sea, is still here today. The sediments have washed up against the stone. And now it is a permanent fixture that connects the dust from the old city, scraped like the top of a rock, to the remnants of this once proud city on the island. Now the waves that lap against the causeway have a new purpose, to bring more and more dirt to cover up all that is left of that city. Ezekiel 26:5 says, it, Tyre, shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. How often do you hear people spreading nets in the midst of the sea? You don't usually do that, do you? You do it on the coast, or maybe you'll do it on a ship. But because of Alexander's stroke of genius, Because of he was the tool in God's hand, now there are rocks in the middle of the sea, and fishermen, even to this day, go out there to fish. The Lord God says, "It, Tyre, shall become plunder for the nations." Over the course of the years following Alexander, many nations would rule Tyre. Yes, they would bring people back there, but Alexander ruled there. And then the Seleucids that inherited that part of the world from him ruled there. And then the Romans took it over and ruled there. This is what happens to those that say, "Aha," to God's people. Now, the old city of Tyre is just a collection of smooth rocks that barely poke out of the water. Today, the ruins are merely just a resting place and a novelty for those that visit the area. The Bible tells that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible explains that sin leads to destruction, decay, and then death, doesn't it? But surrender to God leads to eternal life. Unfortunately, many people in this world only have this life in mind, and they do not realize who they are dealing with. During World War II, perhaps still fresh in the minds of some, during the buildup of the Nazi war machine, Adolf Hitler also attempted to spread his culture to the world, just as the ancient Tyrians tried to. And perhaps he didn't do as much by trade as he did by force, but he was trying to establish his culture across Europe and then perhaps the rest of the world. And while allowing his armies to march on the cities of Europe, he had his engineers also build things. He had them build large monuments and buildings with the hope that if they were ever destroyed someday, 1,000 years in the future, and that was his goal, to have an empire that lasted at least 1,000 years, someday they would be great ruins. Let me ask you something. When you build something or make something, do you intend to make it look good when it breaks down? Is that the reason you make something? Most of us hope it never breaks down. But that's the way that Adolf Hitler thought. Unfortunately, the day when those great edifices and buildings that he built were destroyed was much sooner than he realized. And if you go over to Germany, you will see some of these structures that he built. And guess what? They're pretty cool ruins. It reminds us that when we oppose God, when we're on the other side of God, we're going to be laid in ruins. But you know, Tyre may have been the competitor to ancient Jerusalem and the ancient people of God, but there are competitors to the modern day people of God, aren't there? There are those that compete against those that are trying to follow God's true word. The church used to be the center, the hub of society. It used to be the place where people found hope and meaning and truth. And in recent years, the churches have begun to crumble physically and spiritually. They've begun to crumble, and the secular people of society, the leaders and people of all different countries, say, "Aha! Aha!" But God doesn't take that lightly, does He? He says, "Yes, my churches are crumbling. Yes, people are turning away from me, but they're my children. And the end for them is going to be better than you. The end for them is eternal life if they will turn back to me. But you don't even know me. You don't know who I am. How dare you say these things to my children?" When it comes to our own lives, there are those of us that are struggling. And we turn away from God sometimes and we fall. And there's always going to be those people in your life. There's always going to be those people that say, aha, you see, I knew this Christian thing wasn't going to work out for you. I knew you couldn't do it. I knew it was a bunch of lies. I know you don't have anything to offer. But we know. We know by God's word. We know what we can be. We know who we have. And someday, those who oppose God will not just be rocks lapped by the waves. And someday, they will be no more. Let us all try to be a part of that holy city, Jerusalem, so that we can be a part of God's people. Let us respond to Him and realize that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He leads us onward to the next destination. And to know that if we stand with God, if He stands with us, nobody else can stand against us. And all those cities of the world and all their works will just be like Tyre, won't they? They'll be all tired out and gone. And we will remain with Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we may forget You're on our side. But You give us these wonderful stories in the Bible to show us what it means to trust in You. The Tyre of ancient times is long gone, but Your people are still here. And I pray, Lord, that each person today will put his lot in with You. In Jesus' name. Amen.